Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions. Questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love? I want to be light in this present darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that's what this show is all about. Got a good one for you today. What do you say? We quiet our minds. God's got a word for you. Are you ready to hear it? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, He went up the mountain, and after He sat down, His disciples came to Him. He began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, what a gospel it is. Calling the kids, this is going to be good. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You hang out, we'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living, and together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. You know, as a kid, growing up, like a lot of kids, I spent a lot of time listening to FM radio. And one song that dominated the airways was a song called Stairway to Heaven. Voted over the years in many polls as the greatest rock and roll song ever written. Released in 1971, I would be 9 at the time. By 1991, it had been played 1,874,000 times on FM radio. So as a kid listening to the radio, it's kind of impossible to avoid that song, even if you wanted to. And it's a groundbreaking song for many reasons. First of all, it's very long. It's 8 minutes, and that breaks pop rules. Most pop songs are about 3 minutes. Another thing that makes it different from others is that, like the name implies, it is a stairway and it builds over time. The song has three basic parts: a beginning, which is very soft and smooth and melodic. It's acoustic guitar, gently joined in by what sounds like a flute, but it's actually a mellotron, which is a kind of a keyboard. And then it builds in the middle section with the drums kicking in and layers with electric guitars. And then it finally crescendos at the end with this screaming guitar solo. It's also unusual because as the song builds and gets louder, it actually speeds up, which breaks all the rules. A song is not supposed to do that, but it does. And it finally comes crashing down at the end with the a cappella, and she's buying a stairway to heaven. Now, the reason I bring that song up is that because our gospel today, known as the Beatitudes, is kind of like that song, Stairway to Heaven, for several reasons. First of all, the Beatitudes are like a stairway to heaven because they provide for us a blueprint for the Christian life. It is a playbook today's gospel on how we manifest the kingdom of God in our lives. In other words, this is what a Christian looks like. And just as Moses came off a mountain with a whole lot of things not to do, Jesus is coming off another mountain with exactly what we are to do. Now, another thing that the Beatitudes have in common with that song, Stairway to Heaven, is it's much like a stairway. These eight Beatitudes are interconnected and they build upon each other. In other words, you cannot master a step until you have fully mastered the step that precedes it. And another thing is as you ascend this stairwell, the further you climb, meaning the more you manifest the kingdom of God in your life, the harder it becomes. To the point where when you reach the top, even martyrdom will not shake you. So where to even start? Well, let's start with the word that begins all eight of these Beatitudes. And that word is blessed. Now, blessed means to be made holy or consecrated. But it can also mean enjoying great happiness. But this is where it gets a bit confusing, because blessed and happy are not the same thing at all. In fact, I've read translations of scripture that say happy are the poor in spirit, and that's just wrong. Because blessed and happy are not at all the same thing. Happy is a fleeting, temporary emotion that is based on external circumstances. Like I'm happy because Notre Dame won the game, but you know, sometimes they lose. Blessed is different. Blessed is deeper, it sticks around. Blessed is an eternal experience based on an internal circumstance, and it never changes. Blessed is ultimate well-being. It is supernatural. It is spiritual joy. In a word, it's the secret to life. Blessed is the peace of which Jesus speaks of when he says, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives it, do I give it to you." Okay, it is a peace that goes beyond all human understanding. It is a peace that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what storm you might find yourself going through, no matter how big those waves might be, and no matter how small your boat might be, as you are tossed to and fro in the winds of this life, you have a sense of, you know, it's going to be all right. God's got this. Because not only is Jesus aware of my storm, he's in my boat. That is blessed. So, oh no, let's go. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So joy is found in spiritual poverty. Now, this is the foundation of the stairwell. If you don't get this one, you can't even get on the stairwell, okay? You certainly can't begin your climb. Now, understand that poor in spirit has nothing to do with money, okay? We're talking about spiritual poverty. And while poor, that word, is usually associated with lacking something, there's something a little different going on here. Well, in a sense, it is a lacking, but let me try to explain. What is poor in spirit? Well, you know, sometimes the best way to define something is to try to understand what is the opposite of that thing you're trying to understand. We call this the antithetical definition. So what is the antithetical definition of poor in spirit? Well, it would be rich in spirit, right? Well, I think I know what rich in spirit is. Rich in spirit is when you feel like, you know, hey, I got all I need. I'm just fine. Hey, God, I'm okay. You know, why don't you take care of all those other poor people? I'll catch up with you in the end when I need you, but I'm fine now. Now, poor in spirit is the exact opposite of that. Poor in spirit is when you realize, no, I need God. When Jesus says, those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Poor in spirit is realizing that you are, in fact, a sinner and that you are, in fact, sick. This is an enormously important concept. Because if you view yourself as healthy, if you look at yourself and think, well, you know, I'm good, at least I'm good enough, why would you need Jesus in the first place? Utter dependence upon God is foundational, which is why poor in spirit is the first beatitude. This is the principle upon which the entire lesson stands, and you will never be blessed until you first recognize that you are in fact poor in spirit. Meanwhile, our world is selling you something completely different. Our world is saying, blessed are the proud, blessed are the self-sufficient, which is why so many of us never even get on the stairwell. Next up, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There is joy and sadness. Now, again, this is very counterintuitive to our world. How can happiness be found in sadness? Well, first of all, let's look at that word mourn. I think that when most of us look at that word or hear that word mourn, we think about somebody that we love has died and we're mourning that death. But I don't really think that Jesus is talking about death here. I think he's talking about something else. I think what he's trying to talk about here is mourning the state of this world. Looking at ourselves and looking at the general state of things and knowing, you know what, this ain't right, really. Something's going wrong here. Paul writes that godly sorrow produces repentance. So that seems to suggest that what Jesus is talking about here is the mourning of our sinfulness, mourning our sin. Blessed are those who mourn. Do we mourn our own sinfulness? I would say no, not really. We don't mourn our sinfulness because we have lost our sense of sin. And so we don't understand that we are in fact sinners. Consequently, this beatitude, blessed are those who mourn, is a clarion call to awake from your spiritual slumber. Blessed are they who mourn. Now, why would that be a blessing? Why would mourning our sin be a good thing? Well, because it is only once we mourn our sin that we can in fact recognize our sin, and it is only once we recognize our sin that we can be forgiven of our sin. Oh yeah, it's true. Jesus died for your sins on the cross. That is true. But only the sins of which you recognize and repent. Blessed are the meek. They will inherit the world. There's all different types of translations. They will inherit the land. Blessed are the meek. So joy is found in humility. Again, this is completely counterintuitive to our world, because our world preaches that meekness is weakness, and that's not true. Meekness is not weakness. When William Tyndale translated the Bible, which is where we got the King James Version, from Greek to English, not exactly sure when he did that, but when he did, there really wasn't a good word here for meek. So he used an equestrian word. It's a horse word. If I were to say to you saddle or bridle or stirrup, you would know that I'm talking about a horse. Well, the word that Tyndale uses in the Old English for meek describes a wild stallion that is completely obedient to its master. So what the original Greek suggests is that meek is total power under complete control. Meekness says, I'm going to do what's best for you, even though you don't deserve it. My friends, it's really easy to do God's will when it's easy to do God's will. But what about when the other cheek is turned because we've been slapped unjustly? Do I have the self-control to give back good for evil? Secret to life, my friends. Hear me when I say, when we are meek, we are strong. And we are blessed. Again, it's hard to do, but don't worry. it's about ready to get a whole lot harder. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to climb the stairs of the Beatitudes here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Let us continue our climb up the stairs of the Beatitudes, the roadmap to the Christian life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Joy is found where there is hunger. Now, this is big. Let me start by noting that this is not about food, okay? So what does it really mean to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Well, let's begin with a question. Do you think our God is a just God? And I'm thinking most people are, yeah, sure, God's just. Of course he is. How about another question? Given the fact that our God is a just God, would you agree that even though there's a whole lot of really upsetting things going on around us, okay, that in the end, there will be perfect justice? And again, I'm thinking most people are going, yeah, I do. I believe that. So if that's the case, could you put down the sword and let God be God? Can we trust him when he says, vengeance is mine? Another secret to life, okay? Hear this. If we are going to fight the battle, we should not expect to be blessed. But if we turn it over, get our hands off of it, and let God be God, we will. It's that simple. Which, again, is hard to do. But like I said, as we climb the stairs, it gets even harder. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Joy is found in mercy. My friends, we have hit the mother lode. This is huge. Mercy and our inability to show it is a universal problem. We all struggle with it. And it's kind of funny, in an ironic, not a ha-ha sense, that, you know, why is it so hard to give what we all, in fact, need to get? I mean, I think we can all agree that mercy's great when you get it. But here Jesus is saying something entirely different. Mercy is great when you give it. You are blessed when you give it. My friends, we have all experienced pain and unhappiness. We have all experienced unjust things in our life. And some of us live with this for years. So many of us are walking wounded. But listen carefully, okay? I want you to open up your mind really wide and hear this, okay? This is a big secret to life. Are you ready? You will never feel peace in your life until you finally forgive that person who has hurt you so deeply. Can I say that again? You will never feel peace. You will never be blessed until you finally forgive that person who has hurt you so deeply. And I can just hear it now. So, well, Foster, you don't know. You don't know what they did. And you're right, I don't know. But hear me when I say, I'm not telling you to do anything. Jesus is telling you to do this. And it's hard. I know it's hard. It's not easy. I know I say this all the time. But resentment is exactly like eating small spoonfuls of rat poison every day and hoping that the other person dies. Meanwhile, they're across town, sleeping like a baby because, newsflash, they forgot about you. They don't care about you. Meanwhile, you're getting sicker and sicker as you rehearse all these conversations that you're never going to have. You need to let it go. How can we ever be expected to be forgiven? That wasn't good English. How can we expect to be forgiven by Christ if we ourselves can't forgive? Take it to God and ask Him to remove it from your heart. And then hear me now, because this is big, okay? Let it go. If you do, you'll be blessed. Okay. Now we're getting up. We're getting up to the top, near the top of the stairwell. And this is graduate level Christianity. Blessed are the clean of heart, or pure of heart, for they will see God. Joy is found in purity. My friends, we live in a world that does not place a high premium on purity. In fact, it very much goes the other way. We live in a world that seems to be offended by everything except sin. And the sin of impurity, it's everywhere. Whether you're selling a bar of soap or a fast food commercial, you just can't escape it. And living a life of impurity is like driving a car with a very dirty windshield, because it's very difficult to see the sunlight of the Holy Spirit when you are living a life of impurity. Impurity is one of Satan's biggest hammers in his toolbox. And the internet is his playground. 35% of all internet traffic is pornography. 35%. That is more than Amazon, Netflix, and Twitter combined. It's the modern day forbidden fruit. Might look good to eat. And of course, that's the nature of sin. If it didn't look good, nobody would sin. Seems harmless, but it is killing so many people as it snuffs out the spiritual life. Meanwhile, Satan laughs. Purity of heart. It's a struggle in this fallen world. But purity comes with its own reward. It's another secret of life. If we strive for purity, we will be blessed. Let's move on. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Joy is found in conflict. Now, notice Jesus doesn't say blessed are the peace lovers, because everybody loves peace. We are all desperately trying to avoid conflict. You hear about this all the time in the news. There is no witnesses. People can be mugged and even killed in broad daylight in front of other people, and people say nothing. This is not about loving peace. This is about making peace, which sometimes requires stepping into the middle of conflict. Because sometimes reconciliation requires confrontation. And a peace lover is going to avoid confrontation, but a peacemaker will risk themselves by entering into the chaos in the shadow of God and come out the other side with the fruit of reconciliation. Like I said, this is graduate level stuff. So hear me when I say, I want to make this very clear. Unless your spiritual condition is very strong, meaning that you are acting out of pure humility, don't go there. Don't do this. Do not put yourself into conflict without the full armor of the Spirit. Because if you go wandering into a conflict without the blessing of God, you're going to get kicked around, my friend. But the Spirit-filled Christian can enter into conflict with truth and compassion. And he or she, if they bring empathy and respect, can often resolve a conflict, which by this world standards seemed impossible to solve. It's another one of those secrets to life, my friend. But it requires that you are spiritually fit, and it's hard to do. And that's why it's near the very top of the stairwell. Blessed are the peacemakers. Well, finally, we have come to the top. The pinnacle of the teaching of how we manifest the kingdom of God in our lives. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they insult you, persecute you, and utter every kind of evil thing against you falsely because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven will be great. joy is found in mistreatment. Now, I gotta say, even after hearing this my whole life, it's still unbelievably shocking. Imagine the first people who heard this. I mean, each one of these Beatitudes, to some degree, run counterintuitive to our world and are a bit confusing. But this one, I mean, this is over the top. And there's a reason for that. Because as human beings, we view suffering as an indicator that something is wrong. Meanwhile, Jesus is suggesting that sometimes suffering and mistreatment are an indicator that something is right. They hated Jesus. They continue to hate Jesus today. They don't like what he stands for. So if you're a Christian, they're going to hate you. Why? Because Jesus is light. And light exposes sin, which is why men prefer darkness. As Christians, we are reflections of that light. And if we do reflect that light, sometimes it's going to cost you. So today, we talked about the roadmap to the Christian life, the blueprint. If you truly want to follow Christ in your life, this is your path. And like anything in life, the more you work these steps, the better you get. But like the rings at the playground, remember that when you were a kid? Remember the rings? Remember you'd hold on to one ring as you try to swing to the next ring? You have to have momentum to get from one ring to the next. And momentum takes practice. And guess what? You're gonna fall. I mean, a lot. And when you do, you gotta go back to the first ring. And it's not easy. Because there is nothing easy about living the Christian life in our world today. I, in and of myself, can't do it. But the Jesus inside of me can. And you know what? I'm gonna let him. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin, swinging the bat of truth. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life, and I bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.